to acknowledge you will need help no matter where you're going or how you're doing it, and being open to acknowledging that and asking for help.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad. We have a great guest today. Rowena Hennigan will talk to us today about the location-independent lifestyle. I think it's a really interesting, not only term, but way of living. And I know, Andrew, you've been to many different countries. This is something we're passionate about, giving people the flexibility to explore, et cetera, work-life balance, et cetera. It's kind of, there's a lot of different terms out there, but I think this is the one that really might even summarize it the best, especially if you have a family.
Yeah. You know, I've done this with my kids, my wife, and we took off some 20-something years ago, decided that this was going to be our way of life as a family. So I'm glad to have Rowena on, because she is bringing this to the forefront of so many when others are talking about remote work for your career, for yourself, and it's all me focused. And you know, for me, it's balance in this is tough. When you love what you do and you want to do it from anywhere, means you do it from everywhere sometimes, means you do it all the time, nonstop sometimes, and drawing those lines, stopping to breathe, slow down, and live life. So it's going to be interesting as we touch on some of these topics today. Breathing, you know, even from grounding.
Yeah.
Taking your shoes off, stepping in the grass when you land in a new place. You know, I hope we get to some of these practical things as well as some of these personal things of vulnerability and authenticity as a family, as a couple, as an individual, with your friends, those you leave behind.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much about, I mean, we concentrate so much on work, but that work-life balance is so important about grounding and recharging. You know, for me, Andrew, you know, I may have shared with you, when it's a really difficult day, you work really hard, and they say, you know what? I just need to get on my bike, whether it's a mountain bike or a road bike, and you just float along and you just let your mind wander. You tend to come back with some solutions to those difficult problems, but also you feel better. So why don't we bring Rowena into the conversation? Because I'll tell you, I'm really excited today to hear. And Ro, where are you located today? I understand you might be in Spain.
Yeah, so I'm based in Zaragoza in Spain. In the north of Spain. It's near the French, 2 hours from the French border. And yeah, I've got my family here with me. We moved here 4 years ago. And Zaragoza is our fixed base, but we are location independent, as you referenced. And the way I understand that or define that is, we on purpose, and since I met my partner, and before we had our daughter, decided not to have a mortgage, because we were both remote working when we met 10 years ago. And we had both, together, we traveled to over 100 countries. Spain is the 14th country I've lived in for more than 3 months. So quite a lot of life experience. And my family in particular is very international. I have a brother in France. I have family in Bali. I've spent intensive time, long periods of time in Indonesia and in Southeast Asia. And when we met and we were in those throes of romance, we spoke about traveling together and nomading together, because we had both nomad in some way before we met myself and my partner. We met in Dublin. And life had a different plan for us. We got pregnant quite quick. And unexpectedly at 40, I became a mother. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world, obviously, to become a parent. All parents say that. But it's also the most challenging thing.
Yes.
Right? There's days where you wonder if you can do it. But we got a bit of an extra challenge thrown along, because we were based in Dublin at the time. And those of you who know Irish geography and weather will know that it's not the driest place in the world. So at about 10 months old, my daughter developed very serious childhood asthma. And the following 2 years were some of the toughest of my life, maybe up until the pandemic, to be honest, because she was extremely ill at night, choking a lot and coughing, a lot of inhalers, steroids, very disturbed sleep for a long period of time. So where my story of location independence, of the way I live my life, is that at that point, it's a blur. Those kind of 2 years are a blur, 18 months, because she was so sick. And suddenly my remote working that I was doing, the two organizations, the university I was working with and another contract, it became a necessity. So when those two organizations said, you can work from home, I literally cried with joy, because if you haven't slept continuously for months properly, trying to turn up at work and adding that commute in, it's so much more stressful. If you can work from home flexibly, you suddenly find you can grab a nap. If a neighbor minds your daughter for an hour, if the childminder comes in, your husband comes home early, you can grab a nap. And so remote work became necessity for me. And then as we investigated our healthcare options in Ireland and the options to support our daughter, we realized we were running out of options. And climate change, climate as in change to heat,
yes,
suddenly became a lifeline. So this is why I'm so passionate about the nomad way of life and the way remote work supports it, because I kept a career as a woman, and that's nothing to be sniffed at. I kept in my career. In fact, I started my own business because I felt I owed so much to remote work and the way of life. But we up sticks. We came to Zaragoza. We're on a low income-ish type rental, and we move around three to four times a year. So even within the pandemic, Alan, we've been able to move because we, I mean, our daughter goes to school here, but we now realize that we having mobility is something you cannot put a price on. And when life throws in challenges like a sick child, believe me, I am grateful for this way of working and living, because it actually, it saved our lives as a family. And I'm honestly not underestimating its impact for us.
Wow. You know, the freedom to go, the boldness to continue on when faced with diversity, it's how you land when you fall, but also how you get up. Do you stay down or do you get up? And you were faced with a challenge and you pounced back up and said, okay, we can keep going. We can keep going stronger than ever, supporting the kids, keeping our careers going, relaunching. What are some of the keys to that, you think, as you did that?
I do think lived experience, actually, Andrew. So we had both nomads, as I said. So we knew we could figure it out, right? We knew we could go somewhere new. We both had lived in different countries. But also, I tell you what, when we did the pros and cons list, and obviously we were forced into a corner with a very ill child, so our blinkers were on. All we wanted was for her to stop choking at night. And a parent with a very sick child will move mountains, right, to try and figure that out. So we kept saying, and we visited Zaragoza, we visited a few other places in Spain. We knew it was really dry, and we thought, if we just do it, her health will improve. It's obvious. So I have to be straight and say that was the biggest motivator, because at the point of moving, I was exhausted. I was like probably a bit depressed as well from lack of sleep for such a long period of time. Yeah. But it was just being brave, knowing that where we were wasn't working for her health. And then when you start saying, why not, if that makes sense, you start looking at the pros and cons, you start to go, we've nothing to lose. It has to be better for her. And the three of us, if we've nomaded, we maybe live in privilege, we live in luxury. But also, we were so desperate, we said, if it just stops her coughing for a few months a year, we will survive as a family. Because you're at breaking point when you're both so exhausted. Part of the story is we would have to take turns sitting up at night and holding her upright during the night. And my husband could sleep through that, but I couldn't. And my sleep was just... So I was... You know, I was having moments, to be very honest with you, where I was crying going, I'm never going to have a career for another 5 years now because I cannot work. I actually would cry in the mornings at the thought of work. On a Sunday, I would cry because I was so exhausted, so exhausted. And also with the extra responsibility of parenting, not only you don't even know if you can physically work, you're also going, am I even able to be a big good parent, because I can't even put one foot in front of the other. Being very vulnerable, it wasn't just like work was nearly the last thing on my list. I was just there going, please can I get some sleep and please can I function? So that gives you an idea of the state of mind we were in when we actually moved, the state we were in when we actually moved.
Yes.
It wasn't pretty.
No. Remote working with kids, the world has faced it. You were in this before the pandemic, but now many are facing it for the first time. They're jumping into this environment where, you know, prior to us starting, I yelled out, okay, kids, we have someone arriving soon. You got to get up. And here I am in the office yelling to the kids, the teenagers, and they're in my office. They're not, but they're right next door to it. That's an aspect that isn't really getting a lot of press. Carrying our kids into our workplace where before it's, you're fired, you brought your kids to work three times.
Yeah, but true remote working, I mean, I'm in a co-working today. You know, previously before COVID, I was going to libraries. We wouldn't always be with our kids. Kids would be in physical school. They would be in childcare. But I think you bring in an interesting point even before that, Andrew, if I get you to even step back before that, right? Is, are you fit to work at all for any type of work? Right? Remote work in the physical office, whatever. And I think in our always on culture, our hustler culture that we're in, our modern world, I mean, that's why it brings it back to work-life balance as well. Because what happened was then we got to Spain. Yes, things improve. You know, fortune favors the brave, all that good stuff. But believe me, it took me 6 months and I took nearly a year, Andrew, before I went, I'm ready to work properly. I had a couple of little small contracts, but I needed to recuperate, me in particular, because of the lack of sleep. I was very stressed by a child choking at night. I really struggled. And I lived with a lot of fear for about a year afterwards. So we had some savings, we pottered along, and I started Spanish classes. So did my husband. My husband kept working. And then I slowly came back into the workforce. So I think there's something there as well to acknowledge that, you know, in our modern world, are you actually physically and mentally and holistically ready to work? And certainly I can look back and go, I got to Spain. The weather was good. She stopped coughing so much. And I could find myself and recuperate to be ready to work and do what I do in the world now. But I needed that year of recovery as well. So like being a parent, there's so many facets, if that makes sense. Caring for anyone, being a carer, being responsible. Yeah. Coming out of COVID, will some of us need to maybe take a month off to recharge and recuperate? How many people will actually do it? And how many people will have the luxury of doing it? So, you know, like there's a wider angle there of why we work.
Yeah. Well, it brings up something. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, obviously mental health is so important. You know, are you able to focus? And of course, people have elder care issues, child issues, stress of the job, et cetera. You've come out of this, you struggled, but you came out of it. So how about some tips for some of the folks out there that really helped you? I mean, obviously, getting to a better location is a huge help. That's one, right? That's pretty basic. But, you know, was it walks? Was it just saying I'm going to meditate or take a few minutes? Obviously, you know, what are some of the better habits that you felt were really helpful to you?
So contextualizing it to back in that period, obviously we were coming out and suddenly sleeping. She was stopping coughing. But there's some simple tips I'd like to share with people. Myself and my husband, once a week at least, we kind of had it like as a weekend thing. We would reflect on what we loved about where we'd moved to and the benefits we gained. And we'd do a little chat about it, right? And sometimes we would, and actually we still reflect on that now.
Yes.
In the 4 years, it's become a habit, what we love about Spain. And it's not the bad things about Ireland, but we also have a massive gratitude to Spain because they welcomed us with open arms. You know, again, because we're a traveling family and we can come on to this, you have really lots of opportunities to integrate, more so than often gets talked about. Like you said, Andrew, there's like people don't often focus on that with families, with kids. Like when you go on holidays with kids, people come over and talk to you. The kids start playing. You get, you know, the kids play with other kids, you know, and you suddenly have these much more opportunities to integrate than often a single traveler would have. It can be much more spontaneous, natural. But also we also were really easy on ourselves about integrating. So we had very honest conversations because we knew we were recuperating. And maybe that's why I can verbalize and talk about it, you know, so easily, because we also always knew that the first year we had to be gentle with ourselves. Because, and this is one of the tips as a family, you're settling in as a family, and Andrew will get this as well. You're not settling in as young Rowena who, you know, can just kind of figure it out, right? You're all going to, like, my husband might move at a different pace. My daughter might move at a different pace. You're a dynamic. You're a little team that has to realize that integration, that settling in needs to happen at the pace that suits all of you together.
Yeah. Alan, you've worked remotely many years, and it's whether you have pets, our junior underwriter may be barking and running out that door behind you momentarily.
Yes.
Thing of of balancing all the dynamics. My dog luckily isn't here yet. He arrives in from Brazil on Saturday. There's so many things that we have to keep in check, in balance. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is, of course, ourselves, mm-hmm. our head. And you've made reference several times, Rowena, of how that we have to know when we're ready to do things. Mm-hmm. We have to be self-aware.
Yeah. And like, I think the taking stock idea, which would be one certain tip, because if you don't stop and take stock and be grateful, you can't build that self-awareness in to what you've, because sometimes we're a little bit overstimulated, for want of a better way of describing it, in a new place. So unless you regularly take stock, you can't realize what you've attained.
Right. You can be self-aware and be so aware of your problems that you need to get outside help to move past the things you're now aware of. Getting the professional therapy, getting counseling to take you out of the ruts that you're now aware of.
Yeah. And
being self-aware of your challenges, but investing in yourself enough to pay for the psychologist, the psychiatrist, the necessary medication if needed.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
The life coach, something to take us beyond awareness into improvement.
Exactly. And that really relates to me in terms of the way we learned our Spanish, the way we lent on friends when we were here, if we needed to help us with different applications, because the bureaucracy can be a bit complicated here. You know, and asking for help, you can, apart from professional help if you need it, you can also apply to everyday situations. I mean, some of the first Spanish I learned was, you know, can you help me find the toilet for my daughter? Really obvious things, but that attitude of knowing you need something and asking for help is also that around you, there are people who are willing to welcome you and provide you with help. But you also need to be proactive to ask for it and reach out for it in whatever way. And that's something, the Spanish are even more direct than the Irish. So it's interesting because, they'll ask straight away when they want something without a please or thank you. It's in their culture. But like all of what you said, that self-awareness then, but moment to moment, what I need, what do I need? What does my child need? What does my situation need? Ask for help. And actually to share, my husband, he won't mind me sharing this. He said reflecting on the 4 years a few weeks ago, he said, I'm much better for being proactive to ask for help now since we've integrated, because, and I'm generalizing a little bit, but some men may feel a little bit like, I don't want to be asking that. I can figure it out on my phone. I can look it up on Google. So I think I think from a family perspective, there's something interesting there. That if I could give another tip, it would be to acknowledge you will need help no matter where you're going or how you're doing it, and being open to acknowledging that and asking for help.
You know, what's kind of interesting in this new location, independent lifestyle, is the help that you go to might be someone now who is also living that location, independent lifestyle. For instance, on some of the programs that Andrew and I work at, the mental health professionals now are online. You know, the old days you would go into an office, sit on a couch and have a conversation. And now that person you're talking to post-pandemic is now at their home, having a video consult with you and understanding the same issues. So I actually think there's a greater understanding of the issues that support people that are location independent or remote working. And I think there's going to be a greater understanding going forward, because what you discuss is so important. I mean, it sounds like you had a matrix of friends, family support, you know, professional support. And then the fact that, you know, you pull those together and it helps, you know, people heal. And I think what would be your kind of comments on how this location independent lifestyle also is having people have a greater understanding of the needs to support these folks and the different tools that are out there?
Well, yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because what the pandemic has done as well is, you know, we can have a counseling session online. We can have a session with a lawyer, agent, doctor, whatever. But I think that the thing about location independent is that it's like any community. You know, I've encountered now all these other people who are location community. I've connected with people on LinkedIn. I've connected with people through bumping into them. Like, we went to Tarragona last summer. we relocated there for 3 months when the restrictions relaxed. We went to a local co-working. We put our daughter in a local summer camp. And in the building we were renting the apartment in, we just got to know everyone at the pool. And she got to know a couple of friends at the summer camp. And we got introduced to a couple of people through the co-working. And even in that 3 months, we had this little network. And the guy who ran the co-working, to give you a practical example, he was WhatsApping us in the first week going, if you need any help with anything, you know, once we'd gone in Spanish. So the thing is that when you're location independent, then you go to, as a remote worker or a remote family, with the family with kids, again, you'll know they're going to need entertainment, they're going to need activities, they're going to need school, they might need the local doctor, you know, all these things that kids might need. And you plug in, and those people, if you're honest with them saying, I'm new in the area, we're here for the summer, people, you know, and you make that intentional effort to reach out, people come back to you with anything you need, let me know, can I give you this piece of advice? So I think it's about having your little things you know are important. Like our daughter is very, very sociable. She loves meeting people. And any planning that we do, to give another tip, before I'm picking a location, I'm going, what is the easy access? Who do I know in my network who might know about summer camps? Like even in Spain, we did that summer camp booking in Catalan, right? Using a translator into WhatsApp. The messy mobile life.
You're talking about this.
Exactly.
And I encourage those who are resonating with what we're talking about to pick up this book and to follow this author also on social media, This Messy Mobile Life, who, for those who are looking, listening versus watching on our YouTube channel. But Miriam Otumofore.
Wonderful.
She is currently in Portugal. She was in Ghana. She is married to an Italian, but originally from Pakistan. Apologies. And this life we're living is taking kids around. We must take pictures. Our kids, I think back to my kids, they don't remember Thailand, but they remember it because my 5-year-old son was standing next to this beautiful array of flowers, and he recalls, oh, that reminds me of the flowers in Thailand. Well, he remembers the flowers in Thailand because of the picture,
exactly.
Not because of the experience, but he's relived it of looking at those pictures over and over. We need to watch the emotional effect of living in so many locations on our kids. It is not necessarily the easy and best thing to keep moving with your kid. As they develop, we've got to keep the thermostat. We've got to keep looking at how it really is on them. Is it the best thing for them? Because they're a higher priority in our life than our career. And yes, we have to provide for them, but knowing whether or not they can keep going, knowing whether or not they need a counselor in this season, they need someone to guide them for career advice when they get into high school, because they're not sure who they are because they've lived all around everywhere. We're facing so many side effects of showing them the other side. Let's travel the world. It's an interesting result, though, that we do have to measure.
That's really interesting. And just actually to share that, it's kind of why of course, we're restricted with the pandemic. But we kind of stay safe-ish. In terms of, at the moment, we have been to Southeast Asia to the family in Bali. We did stop in Vietnam. We have done things like that, but we're fixed to the school. Some location independent families on yachts in the middle of the Pacific might go, you're just a faker, Rowena, you're light, right? But what I mean is that we don't have the mortgage. We have attached her to a school. We're not homeschooling, right? So we're not off on the extreme. But we are very much about moving around when we can and as often as we can. We are very much about her having second and third languages. Okay, so that was the whole point of the Spain, and now she's learning French. But I want to share a story about the emotional regulation and the impact on her, if that's okay, because it really resonates to what you're saying. She's bilingual now, Andrew, and her maternal language is Spanish. Or English, sorry, but Spanish was pushing through. And at around the age of 4, we were here about 8 months or something, she started having little emotional moments at school, okay? And the teacher was foreign and said, I think she's trying to formulate her emotions in and communicate them, but she doesn't have the words in either Spanish or English. And for a tip for anyone listening, in two countries with two country multilingual children, we then got the solution, and we could have gone down the therapist route. I would have no problem with that. We used singing. She went to a singing teacher who specializes also in expressing emotions through song. We sing as a family a lot, the Irish sing, because we were already singing. And someone recommended this particular teacher. Yeah. And magic happened. And alongside that, if you don't know the book, there's a book called The Monster of Many Colors. And I recommend it to adults as well as children. I use it regularly. And it's about expressing emotion through different colors of monsters. We use that in English and Spanish to help her connect the two different worlds in the two different language formation. And we adjusted through that singing, Andrew, to share, because she was struggling and we could see it in her emotions. Mm-hmm. But again, through my network, I reached out. The teacher had spoken to us at the Montessori, all of that. And we said to ourselves, okay, we need to help her here because, again, we need to adjust. You said it. You need to adjust and work with your child in the moment, in the situation.
It's we that brought flashbacks. If it's not that they don't know it's an apple, it's of how to say it at that particular moment. So they may not say it at all in this season. They may wait, and that's okay too. We should wait more often if we don't know how to say something right. We should probably wait and not say it at all. This has been good. Alan, Rowena, this has been so good. I know, Alan, you've got a question for Rowena. We've got to thank everyone for being here with us. We do have to push this to a climax with some introspective thought.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the singing was really an overlooked approach. So I'm going to ask a question to tie into that is, you know, could you share with the group an overlooked person, place, or experience that you would like our listeners to discover that maybe is not readily apparent to them? Could be a place you've gone to or experience or a person or a book or something that you feel that would really help our location independent folks or just help people explore the world a little deeper.
So I'm a big fan of visualization. So in my experience day to day, and when I plan and think about moving my family and taking these different moves in my life, I visualize myself in that new place, even if I've never seen it. I visualize my child on the swings with other children in that local area. I visualize my child, you know, being comfortable in whatever activity or school. I visualize us having serendipitous encounters with the locals and being recommended that secret bar, you know, for the best tapas that only the locals know. And so for me to support myself and my confidence in my 48 years on the planet, visualization has always been something I use to help me experience what I want to experience before I get there. And that would be my tip to people thinking of traveling.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Where can people find you? Tell us about your links and how people can connect with you.
So they can reach out to me on Rowena Hennigan or rowremote.com, and we can pop that into the show notes hopefully as well. And yes, I'm building a business, which I get to sort of start promoting here. I have a mentoring platform in place at the moment based on remote work skills. And I'm building another product model on the side of that that's going to support people becoming location independent and becoming digital nomads. But very much to what we've spoken out about here, challenging those personas and cliches around it being a backpacker going to a beach in Thailand. I want to help people who are older, have families, are more experienced and want a different experience. And I believe as a remote work educator, as my main piece of work, and we didn't mention that so far, but that's what I do on the side most of the time, which helps supplement and support my lifestyle. I believe there's competencies and skills that people need to learn, some of which are not the intangible or interpersonal, emotional intelligence, all the things we've touched on today and I've shared so openly on. Resilience, everything I hopefully have shared is an example of resilience. And of bravery and of making changes. So that is important. And you can get that through my mentoring service. But I would be also looking at building through this mentoring platform, one-to-one support for people learning, for example, how to set up their IT before they go away, how to have a habit tracker to help them integrate, how to put into their calendars to have their weekly gratitude session with their family. How to find out, Andrew, those tips and tricks about, like you said, about finding the local activities or those messy things that you need to figure out by asking a Catalan lady about her summer camp and her answering you in Catalan. So that messy mobile life and practice. So yes, I am building a platform. So if you tune in, you log on to rowenahennigan.com, pop in your email address there. I'll keep you updated on that. And that's why that's one of my passions that I'm building out as one of my services.
Rowena, thank you so much today. Very, very enlightening. You know, Andrew, final thoughts. I have one that I really liked on her tip on visualization. I mean, it works in so many different ways. As you know, I'm very passionate about playing tennis. And when you, before you serve, sometimes if you just take a second and visualize where it's going, it often goes where you want it to go at a higher rate than usual, not quite to Roger Federer's level, but I really do love the power of visualization. Share with us what you've learned today, Andrew.
This did get some great thoughts stirring, and that's the good thing about podcasts, and especially the guests that you bring in here, Alan, is that you get some thoughts stirring in your mind that lead to other progress, that leads to change. It may not even be what's said during these conversations. And one of those things that did light a spark that's going to become a fire again is, you know, being self-aware, but then taking that self-awareness into healing and moving forward. So this has been really good. And I look forward to having Rowena on again in the future because we just scratched the surface on a few topics. There's some other things that I'm sure she would like to bring to us all, and we need to learn from her. Everyone go to roremote.com. Connect with Rowena Hennigan on all your social channels. Thank you all.
And for those of you who want to join the new Nomad Podcast family, please subscribe online. If you want to find us off the typical podcast platforms, please go to thenewnomad.net or insurednomads.com. We look forward to supporting your adventures down the road. Have a great rest of the day. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.